This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
So let's start in tonight, Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to start at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Your new life in grace. And right here, we're about to read your new life in Christ, the anointed one. Verse 1 says, and he's continuing from verse 1 is continuing from chapter 1. He says, and you hath he made alive, or quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So because we were children of the devil, and by nature children of wrath, the only thing that could be produced from that nature was sin. Okay? But God, who is rich in mercy. Now, mercy is always making sure that you don't get what you deserve. Okay? God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So notice he said, you know, as children of the devil, and we had the nature of disobedience, and we're enemies of God, that God, through his love for us, made us alive together with Christ by grace. Made us alive together with Christ by grace. And then he says in parentheses, by grace you are saved. So it's pretty clear here that our salvation was by grace, all right? And it was the love of God. So far, we hadn't done anything, all right? And then he says, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So notice what he did. He made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up together with Christ. He made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his what? Grace. Of his grace in his kindness towards us, and he's going to do it through Christ Jesus. Then he goes to verse 8. For by grace are you what? Saved. Through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me read this in the Amplified. We'll start verse 8. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, that you are delivered by grace. You're delivered by grace from judgment, and you're made, did not become, but you made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So it's impossible for you to do it. This is a result of what no man could possibly do. so no one can pride himself in it or take glory for this manifestation for himself. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at this grace that changed us, because as I was looking, just staring at this thing, you know, when I get something in my head, I don't want to go to bed. I'm going to talk about it every time I talk to somebody about it. And I'm going to just keep working and working until I'm, you know, have peace on the inside, that's the best way to articulate that thing. And so when you talk about being born again, according to what we just read here, here's what he said in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. You're delivered by grace. You're healed by grace. You got born again by grace. Grace was able to do the job because you had faith. Without faith, go to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to turn there again, but I want you to see it because we're right at right there at the point here. Romans 5. Verse 2. Read verse 2 out loud together with me. Ready to read. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access to this grace by what? By faith. All right. So we were saved by faith, but we have access to it by faith. We got saved by grace, but it came to us through what?
Faith.
We got born again by grace, but it came to us through what?
Faith.
We got delivered by grace. Grace delivered us. Grace is what caused the manifestation, and that manifestation is called glory. So everything we got, being born again, we got born again by grace through faith. Now here's a question. How does a sinner who has no faith and has no grace and has no God do this? How did this process happen? Because as believers, we understand we have to have faith in order for the grace to show up so we can get healed, or we have to have faith in order for the grace to show up so we can get a job, or we have to have faith so the grace can show up so we can be the husband we need to be. But what happened to you before you got born again? Let me show you the favor. Let me show you. Look at what God did here. And you know, I want to be precise in each step, but let me just go ahead and get into this. You did not have anything to do with getting born again, except you believed the word that you heard. Somebody preached the word. You heard the word. All right. And that's where it all started. Somebody that's not born again comes in and they hear something, they hear the word, and that's where it all starts. Now, let me show you, let me get real technical here. What happens is, in reality, grace was not the only gift that was given that day. Faith was a gift. You didn't have none. Now this is going to be wild. It's radical what I'm getting ready to say. You didn't have no faith. So God gave you his faith. Now that's what I'm going to be proving to you tonight. God gave you his faith so you could get saved by his grace and end up with the manifestation of the grace, salvation in your life. So you have to have faith in order to get the grace, and you got to have grace in order to get the glory. Do that again. You got to have, let me back up one more step. You got to have the word in order to get the faith. You got to have the faith in order to get the grace. You got to have the grace in order to get the manifestation or the glory.
Yeah.
All right. Look at what this, I'm in love with him all over again. Here's what he did. Here's what he did. And when you heard his word, in that word was his faith. You heard his word. His word came in. Now there's a scripture for that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Flip over there for a moment. 1 Peter 1, 23. All right, look at verse 23. We're talking about how we got born again, right? Look at this. I mean, these things, we need to see these things so that a unrenewed religious mind won't introduce information that's not accurate according to the Word of God. And that's what I'm like a scientist, man. When I run into a conflict, I want to see it in the Word several times. Okay. Or when I say something in a sermon, I kind of think and say, where is that? And if I said something that didn't have enough scripture to go with it, I needed to go. And most of the time I prove myself incomplete at what I said. And that's where you get all these series of sermons. Actually, these series of sermons are just really me correcting myself over and over and over again until I can get it. And then by the time we get it on TV, we edit all the stuff out that you heard. and then play the stuff that was right. Okay. Now watch this. Look at verse 23. Read it out loud with me. Ready? Read. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So you see now the word of God, he calls it and refers to the word of God as what? Incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed is seed that'll always produce. He said we were born again by the incorruptible seed. So the word of God, we heard the word preached. That word we heard was filled with faith. It was not only filled with faith, it was God's faith. So God gave you the word of faith, glory to God. But you got to understand the book of Acts also refers to this Bible as the word of grace. Twice in the book of Acts, it refers to it as the word of grace. So when you heard the word of faith, hallelujah, the word of faith was deposited in your heart. You believed it. You believed it. It was in there and you believed it. And now the word of faith, oh, this is so awesome. He not only deposited faith through his word, but he deposited grace through his word. So when you heard the word, you got his faith and you got his grace. So what he said is when you hear the word and you believe that word, you release the faith. The faith releases the grace. The grace causes you to be born again. And he said, you didn't do nothing. So you can't take no credit for it. You receive the word. And that's the awesome love of God that came in and you got born again. Now watch this. Everybody understand me so far? All right, now let's go a little deeper here. Let's look at this process of what really happened. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. I'm trying to give you all the ingredients before I make this point here tonight. Romans 10, verse 8. Because I think if you can understand how you got born again, then at that point we can really talk about how to get everything else to manifest in your life once you understand what happened when you got saved. How many of y'all remember the day you got saved? Something happened, didn't it? You heard something and you moved. You obviously believed it, right? Yes. All right, now watch this, verse 8. But what saith it is referring to the righteousness which is of faith. For what saith this? The word is nigh thee, even in your what? Mouth, and in your what? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, underline that word believe, and shall believe in thy heart, believe what? That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please listen. There are all kinds of things that happen when people go up in the prayer room. What's got to happen is you've got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You can't go up there and just say the sinner's prayer because you're afraid, because you're in lack, because you're emotional, or for any other reason than I believe. Or because, you know, I know kids. Why'd you go up and say the sinner's prayer? My mama told me to. Why'd you go up and say the sinner's prayer? Because I'm engaged and she won't marry me unless I get saved. I'm saying all of that because if that's the case, you're praying a sinner's prayer, but you don't believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, the deception is that a person can just open their mouth and quote or repeat something that somebody tells them to say, but their heart doesn't believe it. I can boldly say today that if your heart doesn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and you go and repeat something somebody told you to say, you didn't get saved. I can boldly say that now. Now, if you go and if you say a sinner's prayer and you believed in your heart what you heard in that word, you believe that Jesus is the Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you believe this, then the corresponding action is when you say it. Because sometimes the only sometimes in some situations, the only corresponding action you can present is what you say out your mouth. But you believed in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is real. I believe that. Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as Lord of my life because I believe in you. Let me tell you something. Can't nothing stop you from getting born again that day because you believe in your heart. And with your mouth, you make the confession of what was in your heart, and nothing can stop you from getting born again that day because God says, if you'll just believe it in your heart, I'll equip you with everything you need to get born again. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, by grace, I'll take you who were had the nature of disobedience, and I'll make you one with Christ, and I'll make you sit together with him, and I'll recreate your spirit, and you'll be my handiwork. But you got to believe. Now, here's the thing I'm talking about. When religion gets you to quote something that you don't believe, that's when we're in trouble. Is when you can get a whole bunch of people for all the wrong reasons, and religion says all you got to do is say this, but it doesn't tell you you need to believe this. How many of you know we in trouble, all right? We in trouble. And that's unfortunate, but that's a lot of that's going on right now because listen to me now, it's the same way I'm trying to show you how to get healed, how to prosper, how to get a job. If you can understand what you did when you got saved, it'll work with everything. By grace were you saved through faith. By grace were you healed through faith. By grace, you got a job through faith. By grace, your marriage got right through faith. Everything will work that same way. But what we got now, religion comes in, and religion will tell us to say stuff we don't believe. And I'm going to tell you, you can look at that in your everyday life. We're not talking about just saying the scripture. If you wake up every day and you're busy saying things you don't believe, you are practicing what religion is doing. And then people do that every day. You say stuff you don't believe. Dear God, she tickled me to death. You don't believe that? You didn't fall dead. Lord, have mercy. I tell you what, if she say that one more time, I'm going to cut her throat out. You don't mean that. So what's happening? You're starting to practice and articulate things you don't mean. Excuse me, things you don't believe. And once you get in the practice of saying things you don't believe, you begin to program your spirit not to pay attention to what you say. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Same. Pay attention to how you got born again. And you can begin to move and to walk in this thing. Now, notice what he said. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So now that word goes into your heart. You believe that, man. And then it comes out of your mouth as a corresponding action. And guess what happens? You see the glory of grace. You see faith coming in. Grace being deposited with faith, faith allowing grace to come, infect and impact your spirit, and the glory, the manifestation, the handiwork of God, a born-again spirit, is the result of that. And you cannot take any credit for it because you didn't have the faith, you didn't have the grace. Hallelujah. And thank God you heard the word, but look at everything just so you can get born again. Wow. And somebody thinks, well, I just don't understand why people go to hell. When he went through all of this and all you had to do was do that and you just rejected him anyway, you'll begin to understand. See, there, the Bible says the way to hell is wide and there'll be many go there, and they go there because they reject Christ. Now, I didn't think that was really a big deal until you go into certain colleges right now. And these students are absolutely adamant. There is no such thing as God. They have now come down to this point of saying it's a fairy tale. And I tell you, something just goes all over you when you meet somebody who absolutely, with all of their heart, believes that it's all a fairy tale. And when you begin to see that, you begin to see, oh, my gosh. Oh, look what happened. Look what's happened. Religion has gotten people to say for so long what they don't believe that now it's really gotten into the hearts of our society where they don't believe. And now we have a nation that very rarely acknowledges God. And boy, there are some things that are getting ready to change in these United States of America. And there are some things getting ready to change around the world. God is getting ready to do a switcheroo. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but something is going to happen that's going to cause people to come back to church, and there'll be no churches big enough to hold everybody that God will come back to church. Let me tell you something. Your sons and your daughters, and you're trying to figure out how in the world it's going to happen, they all coming home, baby. There is going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Before the end of this year is out, salvation, salvation, salvation. And look how easy God made it. You believe it?
I believe.
Amen. And it's in your heart. I believe. I remember the day I believed. I remember the day I was enlightened and I heard it and I said, God, I believe this. And then I prayed the prayer. I prayed what I believe. God, I believe that you're Lord. And I want you to be Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus died and he died for me, and he was raised from the dead, and he lives with me and I live with him. God, I believe that. And when I finished praying that prayer, I couldn't explain it to you, but I wasn't the same. Something happened, like somebody moved in. You understand?
Yeah.
And it was a gift. It was a gift. Whew. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right, now. Now, look at this now. Let's go to Mark and look what Mark had to say about, you know, notice faith has to be in two places, in the mouth and in the heart, in the mouth and in the heart. You know, after you get born again, you don't want to just have faith in your mouth.
That's right.
All right. Because that, you know, look how you got saved. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Brother Hagin's scripture. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Some Christians get to heaven, they have to take Brother Hagin's class, and Brother Hagin be sitting right up there, Come on, come on, come on, come on. Try to tell you when I was down there. And look what he said in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be not cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe in his heart. That's the insinuation. That's what he's implying. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amplified says, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place. It will be done for him. Now, most people think right here he's talking about, oh, when I say this word. No, he's talking about in your everyday life, you believe what you say. You got to believe what you are saying. If you're not believing what you're saying. You're not believing what you're saying. What are you saying every day? You got to start matching your words with your heart and start believing what you're saying. But notice what he says. You can speak unto a mountain. You can say unto a mountain, be thou removed. But have doubt in your heart instead of faith in your heart, it won't happen. The heart condition. The Bible says that they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's religion right there. Religion is all talk and no belief. Just running their mouth, okay? All right, now, let's move on here. Now, what I want to show you is this. It's God's faith. When you got born again, God gave you His faith. Now, Lord, help me to articulate this. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because let's go back to Romans for a moment. I need to show you this before I get into that. We're working so hard to get more faith and trying to increase our faith, and we're not even spending the faith that has been given to us. And so there's some people that spend more faith than you do. Don't get mad at them because they're spending more faith. You have as much faith in you as they do. They're just spending more of their faith than you are. Yours is still locked inside. You're not spending it. All right? Look at this. He says, verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Praise God. He's rich unto all that call upon him. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered." The word there is sozo. All right. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?"
How they gonna do that? Before you knew God, how could you call on him? I mean, when stuff happened, except what you learned as a little kid through religion, you didn't call on him. You called your mom and your dad or your grandmama, but you didn't call Jesus. All right? "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all observed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if I'm reading this correctly, faith by the word. No word, come on, no faith. So faith by the word. So when you heard the word about getting born again or the word on salvation, faith came. Faith came. I'm telling you right now, before I show you the scriptures, you were given the faith of God. And every person that's ever believed this and got born again, they were given God's faith. So this thing about you don't have no faith, you, everybody in here that's born again has a deposit of faith. Now, we just got to teach you how to spend it. We got to teach you how to spend it. All right, now watch this. I like what one of my spiritual mentors said. He said, money is for spending. I said, what are you talking about? He said, money is not for sticking in a hole for all your life. Is for spending. And I thought about that. Faith is for spending. But the reason why some people don't like to hear that about money is for spending, because they ain't got no faith to spend what they got. They have more fear in running out and no faith in running over. All right, now look at this. I think I'm ready to go there. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, I've got to show, I got to prove to you that you have his faith, God's faith. Verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified. Now, that word justified, it's also the same as being made righteous. When you're justified, you've been made righteous. Okay?
Knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law. We were not made righteous by the works of the law. We were made righteous by the faith, watch this, of Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Underline that. Whose faith? We were made righteous by whose faith?
Jesus Christ.
By the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be made righteous or justified, read it, by the faith of Christ. By the faith of who? Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be made righteous. Now notice, we were made righteous, we were made right, okay? We were justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not by your, it was his faith. It was his faith. You were made righteous by his faith. Glory to God. All right, moving on down to verse 20. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, come on, by the faith of the Son of God. This life that I now live in the flesh, justified by the faith of Christ, I now live this life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, all this time you've been trying to get some more faith. He already gave you all the faith you're going to need. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, now. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. Oh, praise God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Man, I tell you, when I saw this, oh, my God. I'm not talking about human faith. You have on deposit supernatural faith. It's God's faith. That's what it said in Mark. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. All right, look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, he says, now you can do, he says, what I'm getting ready to say, you can do this by grace. Remember, God will never tell you to do something and not provide the grace for you to do it. There's not one commandment in the New Testament that God expects for you to do in your own ability. That everything he ever asks you to do, there's grace available for you to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he's asking you to stay with your wife, or is he asking you to stay pure? If he's asking you, there's the grace of God available for you to do it. But now, if you don't know that the grace of God is available for you to do it, what are you going to do? You're going to try to do it in your own power, in your own will, and you're going to fail every time. All right, now watch this. For I say through the grace, he says, I'm saying this, but I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. It's going to be through the grace of God for you to do this. I'm saying this through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. So he says there's a grace available for you not to think higher than yourself than you ought to think. So anytime you start thinking higher yourself than you ought to think, you say, Father, give me grace for me not to think the way I'm thinking. There's a grace for me to think the way I need to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. Come on. He dealt to every man what? That's important. It's the measure of faith. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 20 proves that out. The faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ, the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. If it was a measure of faith, then that's a degree, which means there could be another measure of faith and yet another measure of faith. No, he did not give us or did not pass faith out in degrees. He gave unto, dealt unto every man the measure, the same measure. We all got the same measure, the measure of faith. You got the same measure that I got. I got the same measure that you got. Well, Brother Dollar, how come it seemed that that person got healed and I didn't? And that person, well, they know how to spend it. You got it. You have the faith. You not only have the faith, you have supernatural faith. You have the measure of faith God gave you. He dealt to every man. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now say this out loud. I have God's faith, residing in me, now. Delivered it by his word. Romans 5:5. He poured the love of God in our hearts. I want to just think on this for a moment. I have the measure of faith. I have it. The day I got born again, I have the measure of faith. I'm trying to figure out if you're spending any of it yet. Spend some faith on some healing. Spend some faith on some deliverance. Everybody, if you save, you spend some. You spend that faith to get born again, to get the grace out, to get born again. I have the measure of faith. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sure as I'm standing here now, I know God got me getting you ready for some supernatural operations, but because, I mean, who gonna do this? I mean, I'm going back over a born again process. What preacher going? I ain't preaching that. That ain't gonna do nothing for nobody. I just know there's something in this. I'm tired of seeing the church not producing anything. All the church doing is talking. I want the church to talk from what they believe so that the glory can be manifested. You understand what God says? He says, I'm coming back for a glorious church. How's that going to happen? Word, faith, grace, glory. It's when you start doing it. All right, let's keep going. 1 Peter 1:1. 1 Peter 1:1. All right, you there? Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers that ain't it 2 Peter 1:1. Yeah, that's it. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Excuse me for laughing, but I mean, did you see what he's doing? He's not only have he dealt to every man the measure of faith, but now he's saying to us that we have like precious faith. We have like precious faith with us. How do we get it? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now notice what it says. We have like precious faith that has been dealt to every man the measure. And this faith came through the righteousness of God, and then he said, and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to present a very interesting little something here that I want you to really pay attention to now. Do you understand all of the things that went into you getting born again? Can you see all of that?
Yes.
Okay, now let's talk about, now that you're born again, how to get the grace, how to spend this faith, how to prepare the pipeline. Glory to God. The more words you hear, the more it's going to be dumped in here. This is where it is. How did it get there in the first place? It came through the word, right? So faith for getting born again came from the word, right? So if I'm going to need faith for getting out of debt, I'm going to have to find some word on it, right? If I'm going to get some faith for getting healed, I'm going to have to get some word on it, right? So notice what you do. You get the word on it. That word possesses the faith and the grace. That word goes on the inside, releases faith where it's empowered. You understand? Ah, glory to God. You get it. You see, you can't be a Christian and just, oh, well, God, give me some faith.
He said, I already gave you something. Go get it. See, work out your own salvation. Seek it. Go get it.
Get some word. Whatever you need, get the word on it, and that possesses the faith of God for the thing. So he's invested faith in everything you'll ever need. But you got to get the word on it, okay? I said you got to get the word on it, right? I said there are scriptures in there about paying your house off. There are scriptures in there about getting a house. There are scriptures in there about getting money. There are scriptures in there about doing everything, okay? But you gotta know how to pursue it. Now listen to this. One of the greatest mistakes believers make is to confess their faith in the Word of God, yet at the same time contradict their confession by wrong actions. Now we're gonna get into something now. That's one of the greatest mistakes believers make. They confess their faith in the Word of God. Because I mean, you know, the church has told us to confess it. But remember, you gotta believe it. You got to believe it. Now, I'm getting ready to show you that the only way we know you believe this is through corresponding action. We don't
know you believe this if you don't have some kind of action that goes along with your belief.
We say we're trusting God to provide for our financial needs, but at the same time, we worry about how we're going to pay our bills. One minute we confess that the Word of God is true. The next, we repudiate everything we've said by wrong action. Our action must correspond with our believing if we are to receive from God. Our actions must correspond with our believing if we are to receive from God. If our actions don't correspond or go together or match or agree, it's not going to happen. It's not gonna happen. And like I said, sometimes the only correspondence you're able to release is confession. So you can't say, well, I believe something, and then go right out of church and confess something completely contrary to what you just said you believe. All right, now, go to James 2. Now, I feel like I had to make very clear about the born again part, so you can just see the love of God and the faith of God and the grace of God and all that coming together to get you prepared for this. But now, as Christian people, we need to know how to get things come pass. I said, as Christian people, we need to know how to get things come pass. I mean, enough is enough. I mean, it's just like you need to. And what happens sometimes, we don't even go to God first. We find ourselves going to other people and we hadn't even asked God about it. And so we say God's our source until lack shows up.
You are not panicked when lack shows up. You know what to do. Let's go get some scriptures.
And let's look at this. All right, now, you there? James chapter 2. Let's start at verse 14. Now, listen to this now. Because here's the deal. If we don't have the right actions to go with our confession, we're never going to see nothing. Okay? And you know what that makes us? Religious. All we got is a talk. All we got is some more talk, some more conversation. God will help you and God will bless you. Oh, yes, amen. Shaka Zulu, lili, lili, li, be. All talk, but we don't know how to get nothing come past. And I'm telling you, you're qualified to walk in this, man. I said you're qualified to walk in this. Amen. I'm not going to disqualify you tonight. You're qualified to do this. You can do this thing. You can do this thing. It don't take no whole year. You can do this thing. You can go start on it tonight. You just needed to come and hear this. I was sitting down eating my dinner, and I looked outside. I said, devil, I don't blame you one bit for doing everything you can to assist this rain to come right now. Don't blame you one bit. But we're not moved by rain, devil. Amen. We're not moved by rain. And the people who couldn't get out, they got a computer. I know y'all out there. I'll be able to tell once we take the offering up when you hit that button, and it'll seem like everybody was here tonight. Now, I don't know how cold it is in New York tonight, but I mean, you know, it's there's something about showing up and getting it. There's something about sometimes making yourself come when you don't feel like it. Sometimes making yourself hear the word when you just exhausted. And that word will go in, it'll start recharging you, man. Because you're not going to stay stranded on the side of the road. This is not God. This is not the year that God is going to. You're not going to be. The only way you're going to stay stranded, you want to. But I'm telling you, the hero truck has showed up on behind you. It's ready to change your tie. It's ready to do some great things in your life, man. But you got to believe this stuff. If you think this is a fairy tale, you don't believe in what First Peter said, you know, you do have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. All right, verse 14. What does it say? What does it profit? What does it profit, my brother? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works. What's the profit? The guy says he has faith, but he doesn't have works. Or the Amplified says works of obedience. Okay. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I mean, I hope you can see that clearly. It's one thing for you to go to somebody and say, be filled with food and be clothed. And they're saying, well, I'm still naked and I'm still hungry. So he gives you this example to say, well, why don't we correspond with what you say? Why don't we agree? Why don't we add some agreement with what you say? Be filled with food while you're handing some food. Be warmed while you're giving some clothes. Says that has profit right there. What profit? They're now warm and they're now full. But you know what religion says? Religion says, let's just preach at them. Let's just preach at them. Now, there's some things preaching is good for. Hallelujah. Preaching to the poor, that has to happen because, you know, the gospel to the poor has to be preached. But dear God, ladies and gentlemen, what impact will we have if we're just big old church in our community and all we're doing is preaching? Something ain't right about that. I tell you what's not right about it. There ain't no profit. All right, now look what he says here in the next verse. Even so, faith, if it hath not works or acts of obedience, even so, faith, if it has not works, is what? Dead. Now, I'm not talking about working the law. I'm talking, when it uses works here, it's talking about correspondence. Faith without corresponding actions. He's not talking about faith plus works of the law. He's talking about faith plus corresponding action. Even so, faith, if it has not corresponding action, is dead, being alone. Being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is but one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. This is interesting because he says the devils don't just believe, they also have corresponding action. They tremble. But without know, O vain man, that faith without corresponding action, works, is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by corresponding action when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now that's interesting. Now notice what happened. This is in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham offered his son upon the altar. Now, Abraham was speaking faith. He said at one point, he said, the lad and I are going up to worship God and obey, and we'll come again. So he was speaking faith, but notice he wasn't just sitting there talking about the lad and I going up, worship God, and we'll come again. He and the lad actually went there. He added action with what he said. He said, I'm going to go up. We're going to worship God. That word worship, the law first mentioned, it's so interesting. That word worship there means that he was going to carry out his commandment. God had told him to take his only son, sacrifice his only son. And he said, we're going to go worship the Lord and we'll return again. Well, worship there meant we were going to go and be obedient to what God told us to do. Took his son. They gathered up everything. He was getting ready to kill his son. And God stopped him. And the Bible says that at that particular point, he was justified. Not because he said, the lad and I going up, we come back again. That was his statement of faith. Because he added action with what he said. And great profit came as a result of what he said. Because God says that he'll provide his, he said, I'll provide myself a lamb. Amen. But that was the prophet that came because he added action with what he believed. Belief, again, is not a mental acknowledgement that something exists. Belief is also that I believe this enough that I'm going to correspond with what I say I believe. I believed in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to correspond with what I believe. Now, church folks took this to a level where it was no longer right, you know, doing stuff like, well, praise God, I believe I'm out of debt. And then you take a blank check and write money and send it in. Well, that's not corresponding action because it's not manifested. An action that corresponds must be something that is able to be done. You can't write a check. First of all, it's illegal for you to take a check and write something out and send it. Now, here's what you ought to do. You might want to write the check out and put the amount that you believe in for it, leave it in your drawer at home as you call those things that be not as though they were. Don't be sending no King David checks out to somebody and check bouncing. Oh, that's illegal. You don't want to do that. Now you've gotten yourself in a place where now the grace of God is being frustrated. Things can't move like this supposed to because now you done got super deep. And now you're carrying something that's greater than your faith load. And you can't do that. Well, I tell you one thing, if you really believe God healed your eyes, you take your glasses off and you ride home tonight during the rain without no glasses on. That's not faith. That's foolishness. That's presumption. It's not even corresponding action. You can't correspond with that because it hadn't manifested. So what you're going to have to do is do something that you can actually do, like every time I put my glasses on, I'm going to say, Father, I thank you that my eyes are healed and you put your glasses on. And I tell you what, one day you'll put those glasses. See, you can correspond with that. One day you'll put those glasses on and it's all furry and just can't see nothing, blurred up. And you take them off like, dear God, he did it. See, we got to learn how to select the proper corresponding. An action that's corresponding is something that is in agreement what you believe. And you can actually do. That's super hyper faith stuff. It's not, I don't even like to call it faith stuff. It's foolish. It's presumptuous. It's not faith at all. And we've got to understand that there's got to be some correspondence. Well, I'm going to believe my marriage is going to work out.
Well, you need to, how much you believe that? Do you believe that enough to change? Do you believe that enough to speak nice? Do you believe that enough to, you know, make a list of things? You ain't even got to make a list. Have your wife to make a list and say, what you need from me in order for this marriage to work? And she'll make a list about 3-4 pages. And then you carry it in your wallet and you just kind of check them off. And why? That's your corresponding action. You're guaranteed the marriage is going to be good because not only do you believe it, not only do you have word for it and the will of God for it, but you have correspondence that you're planning on putting in with what you say. It's a wonder that some Christians have never seen any type of manifestation because we think religion has really gotten us to think, well, all you got to do is say it. All you got to do is just say it and be religious. Just, oh, hallelujah, I feel it. I feel like my breakthrough coming. It probably not because you remember spiritual things can't be felt, man. You got to know it's going to come, not be feeling it's going to come. Dear God, have you talked to some of these people lately? I believe God is my source. And just as soon as they miscalculated their money or mismanaged it, then they're going to, you know, call you or mama up and say, well, you know, I believe God's my source, but if you can write me this, wait, hold on a minute. And you need to pray about every time you're asked to help in some way. Pray about it. I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes when you interfere, soon as the money's used up, they're going to be right back where they started from. And God might have been in the process of bringing them out in a certain place. Now, if he tell you to do it, ain't no problem doing it. You know, you see, now that's another thing. Now, it's that's something different than when you're seeing somebody in a really need versus somebody who mismanaged. You know, if I see some guy that's naked, I'm going to get some clothes for him if I got to give him mine. If I see somebody that's hungry, I ain't got to pray about putting food in a hungry belly. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But now you mismanaged on your first bins and you're trying to get the other one that you couldn't pay for.
I got to ask the Lord if he want me to participate in that. Because that car might be hurting you, and I don't want to be a part of that thing hurting you. You riding in it every day, it's just hurting you so bad. Ooh, this hurt. Somebody said, why would the car hurt you? Them payments that come at the end of the month. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? See, what we're moving into is we have access to this grace by faith, but we've got to learn how to present complete faith. Well, where's the grace? Just because you said it, do you think it's going to be enough for me to just say, well, Lord, I think I have the grace to be the husband I need to be to Taffy today. You think that's just all involved? No, when I say, Lord, I believe I received the grace to be the husband I need today, the next thing I do is now I need to correspond to intentionally begin to add action to what I just said. And then guess what happens? Because I now add action with my faith, then the grace comes in. And now I'm doing all kinds of stuff's going on. Grace is now manifesting glory in that because I'm operating in completed faith. I'm adding action to my faith. I'm not just going around saying it, but I'm corresponding to that word that I'm saying. I found the scripture. Now I'm going to correspond with the scripture. I'm going to add my actions with that scripture. And then I'm going to ask God for the grace to flow through what I'm believing and what I'm acting on. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? This is good. I'm telling you, this stuff works. It'll work every single time. You don't have to do no hit and miss. Here's the word. I'm going to correspond with this. The grace is going to flow. And when I see the manifestation, the grace of God has produced the glory of God in my life because I've now presented mature, complete faith instead of just faith without works, which the Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. So most folks have been operating out of dead faith. Dead faith is probably eventually going to be live fear. Perverted faith is fear. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear is faith going in the negative direction. That's why Job said, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. Notice what he had. You notice what happens when you're operating in negative faith, which we call fear. You go to operating in fear, you're going to start believing what you are, and then you're going to correspond some action, worry. Or you'll start talking negative to line up with it. And guess what happens? You do that enough, it'll produce and bring the thing you fear the most to pass, just like your faith will. It's just working in the opposite. Worry is a negative way of meditating. And so don't tell me you can't do this. You do it all the time in fear. You let somebody call you and say, well, we're going to have to repo your car. You're going to start adding corresponding action to the fear of losing your car. Parking it in the back. Covering it up with leaves. What are you doing? You're now presenting complete fear. Complete fear that will release a force to cause it to be manifested in your life. This stuff works, man. You get a hold of the word of faith. You add correspondence to that. Lord, time is like seriously gone. Bye-bye. That's it. I fed you a full meal. I don't need to go. You got enough to deal with. Amen. Now, what I would do, especially if you're married, I'd make a list of all of the things I'm believing for in my life. Then I get a concordance out or computer, and I'd get two or three scriptures that I'm going to be standing on in this particular area. All right. Then I would confess over those scriptures every day and thank God for the grace to be able to do this. And then I wouldn't let go of it. I wouldn't let go of it. I don't care how long it takes. I ain't looking at the time. I wouldn't let go of it. You ought to get so full of believing you've received that you become pregnant with it. And when it shows up, it's probably not going to even be a big surprise because it's become so real on the inside of you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the glory of God. When you see the end of your faith, that's the glory of God. And God wants that manifested in your life. He wants you to experience that manifestation in your life. But you're going to have to understand, look at what happened to me when I got born again. The gift of faith, the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. Man, it's a gift from God. So nobody can boast. Nobody can boast about it. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Now I understand what I did. Now, if it required all of that, which was really nothing except receiving it, believing it, and then acting like it was so, don't let religion come in and infect what real Bible faith will do in your life and how to carry it.